Io sta al recording now, eh? The recording? Started, eh? Okay. Very good evening to all, eh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 14th, May 2020, Thursday class. So we shall continue from where we stopped. Heart Sutta, page 68, eh? Item 2.4. But before we go into the Heart Sutta, we will discuss one particular J. Krishnamurti quote on meditation, which is very good. I will go through your office. Okay, now we will have our puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Quan Sim Pusa Namo Quan Sim Pusa Namo Quan Sim Pusa Namo Ami Topo Namo Ami Topo Namo Ami Topo Namo Milo Namo Milo Namo Milo, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Bhutang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dvitiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dvitiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina dana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya Veeramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pujan. Padang Pujani. Damang Pujani. Sanghang Pujin. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. We are off the light. Then I will set the alarm. Then we can commence our meditation. So as usual, remember the four support. Relax, maintain awareness. So just relax body and mind completely. Then maintain some form of awareness to silence your mind. The mind that is aware doesn't do anything. It just let things be. Never mind, you can off. You can off. You just let things be. Then maintain that silent awareness to observe. The observation of it is very important. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just silent your mind. Develop the meditative awareness within. Then when you are aware, just the awareness aware. There is no one inside there to be aware. It's just the awareness that is aware. So once you have that mastered or developed, then you will understand what the awareness nature is. It's not an egoic mind. It's not a being. It's not something that creates the egoic thinking. Or we call it the mundane mind. So it's before the knowing, just aware. So meditation is to relax body and mind, maintain awareness, and experience that silent within, that stillness, the meditative mind, the true mind, when there is no thought. So all this is part of meditation. So the ability to be aware without the observer is meditation. So the awareness nature within is what meditation is all about. When you are just aware, there is no one to be aware. It's just awareness itself. Just like the Buddha say, in the seeing consciousness, there is only the consciousness, no one to see. Hearing, the same. Smell, taste, tactile, or thought process is the same. Okay, so relax body and mind, maintain awareness, then let the mind settle down and experience that silence and the stillness that is your meditative mind. And when that mind arrives, stabilize it, use it to meditate. Okay, we will start our meditation now.
mute 吗？
我 unmute 啦。
为什么 mute 都系 unmute？
诶，你听到啲声？我就冇声哟 ，unmute 咯。
Share content, participant。
Okay. You can slowly, quietly come out your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And these are the mind state you need to use to develop the daily mindfulness. Life itself is the meditation. That's why all these are the meditative mind state that you need. So you can stabilize all of your sati, your mindfulness, while in the form of meditation. Then you will start to understand what that meditative mind is. Then it can lead to a transformation. If you relax and maintain awareness for long enough, then this mind on its own, without thought, after it's stabilized, will enter sati. When mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Every moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, or your activity, your physical, mental, and nature activity, or your movement, your action, you are able to see them mindfully. The mind has entered sati, is capable of being in sati all the time. That is the main intent, the purpose. And once you can do that, your daily mindfulness will come to be. The other way that you have to develop it is simultaneously cultivate your spiritual faculties, your five spiritual faculties, to overcome the mental hindrance. And constantly listening to the Dhamma, step toward Avijja Sutta, to develop the initial wisdom. Yeah. So first and second turning wisdom is very important. Okay, so basically that's what you have to do. Then like I told you all, yeah, before we go into the Heart Sutta, we will do the invocation to the Devas first. After that, followed by the J. Krishnamurti quote, we will go through it. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo Maliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditato Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anutarang Punyaketang Tokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention, then we will start the sharing. Yeah? We will go to the J. Krishnamurti quote first. Yeah? Those who have the Maikayamita, huh? You can open up that link that I sent to you. Otherwise, you look at the screen. Huh? Sui has loaded it on the screen. So this J. Krishnamurti daily quote on meditation is very useful. And it is very profound and very meaningful. So I'll read to you, then you will develop your understanding together. After you understand this, you will understand what meditation is all about. And you will be very surprised. What meditation is so different from what is being commonly perceived by people. So according to J. Krishnamurti, he said, meditation means a mind, listener. Meditation means a mind acting in daily life. You cannot do that. You are not in the meditative state. I read again. Meditation means a mind acting in daily life that is capable of seeing without the observer. Without the observer means there is no egoic mind. There is no mundane mind. There is no atta within. Then what is that observation? That is your pure awareness, your direct seeing, your silent mind observing. That is meditation. That's the reason why I had always been sharing you all. To meditate is first to train the mind to be in sati, then stabilize it so that it's ever mindful. So that you can be helpful. That is what the Buddha's advice is all about. Helpfulness is what you need. The moment you are helpful, you are home. So to be helpful is to be aware or mindful. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So that you can be in that state of mindfulness, helpfulness throughout the day. That is the meditative state. That is the mind that can observe or see without the observer. That's what meditation is about. Then Krishnamurti continued to say, meditation is not something apart from daily life or away from daily life. Now you start to reconcile and understand why I always say life itself is the meditation. And meditation itself is life. And the real meditation is daily mindfulness in the midst of life. You cannot be heedful in the midst of life. You don't stand a chance. You are as if dead, the Buddha said. So all this match what the Buddha explained. And when you understand meditation this way, you become so different. So I read again. Meditation is not something apart or away from daily life. It is concerned with the whole of life. If you are not in a meditative state, you cannot understand life. You cannot live life. That's why it's the whole of life. It is no good sitting in a corner of a room and doing all kind of things in the meditation, and then after that, being crooked the rest of the day. Here he used the word crooked, means to explain to you that your mind is not heedful, you are heedless, understand not. So the Buddha's word is, you are heedless, means you have not trained your mind. Here crooked means you have the evil root, you have the delusion, you have the selfishness, you are very cunning, deceiving, deceitful, you have a lot of evil roots, ill intent. Then you have all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion in you. And that is not meditation. To meditate is to be in the meditative state of heedfulness so that all these mind states are not there. That is meditation. That's the reason why J. Krishnamurti say, it is not just about sitting or doing all those exercises in the name of meditation. Then after that, continue to be heedless throughout the day, or rushing off to meditation in the evening to bring about some kind of consolation to comfort yourself, or consolate some kind of consolation comforted by the weak idea, means you don't understand what is meditation. You think you have been to meditation and you feel good after that. That is not meditation, Krishnamurti said. That is childishness, playing with all these words. Of course, if you go and quiet yourself down or focus and concentrate, you develop some form of calmness and peacefulness of mind. But is that meditation? No. That is just training the mind to be peaceful. Meditation is to develop the wisdom and the understanding and the mind that is heedful, mindful, that has the ability to be silent and just aware, to see things as they are, without the observer, without the egoic mind. That is what meditation is all about. So hopefully with this definition, you can relate back to the Buddha's teaching of heedfulness and understand what meditation is. Without heedfulness, there is no meditation. The Buddha explained it very clearly under Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, the heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, there is no meditation. It's as straightforward as that. So remember, to be in the meditative state, you need to train your mind to be aware, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, leading to heedfulness. Then you will have this ability to see, observe without the observer. Means you can be aware throughout the day, mindful, ever mindful, leading to the stability of daily mindfulness. And this is heedful living. You are no longer heedless. So when you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. The heedful never die. So get this understood, then determine with faith, sincerity, to diligently cultivate heedfulness, to develop the meditative mind, so that you can be in this state of meditation throughout the day. So I read one more time so that you can have a clear understanding. So Krishnamurti say, meditation means you must train yourself to have a mind acting in daily life. And this mind must be capable of seeing without the observer. Meditation is not something apart or away from daily life. It is concerned with the whole of life. is not just sitting or doing some meditative exercise, then after that, without developing the wisdom or the understanding, behave heedlessly again. And all those is not meditation, especially those gullible type of thought-based meditation, where you don't know what is meditation and you just follow instruction, yeah, to have method, technique, skillful means, not here, not there, focus, concentrate, suppress, and do all those funny things in the name of meditation. And sometimes to torture yourself unnecessarily. Yeah. That's what the Buddha actually experienced, self-mortification. So the two extremes, sensual desire or sensual indulgence and self-mortification, is to be avoided. So transcending duality, avoiding the two extremes, is the first instruction within the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Okay, so with that, I will move on to Heart Sutta, page 68. 2.4. This question 4 is very interesting. The question is, why is that my meditation could only sustain for a while? Oh, sorry, my mindfulness could only sustain for a while. And I find it very difficult to cultivate the daily mindfulness when I was working. So this was asked by a male, I remember, a man. His name is Andy. He is from Subang. He likes to take photo and all those things. That time, he actually progressed quite well. So he asked me this question. Then I answered him. Then I think he developed the faith. After that, he knew what to do. But after that, I didn't see him around because of certain reason that he told me. But it's okay. So I answered him, I said, when you understand what sati or mindfulness is, then you will know how to train your mind to be heedful throughout the day, and daily mindfulness can be developed and stabilized even in the midst of life while working. When I was cultivating, at that time I say it was 26 plus years ago, that was 2015. Now you add 5 more years, 31 years plus ago, means before 1989. I was also working as a civil engineer. That time I was only 34 years old, 33 or 34 years old. And the place I worked, according to my immediate boss and my predecessor, was like a madhouse. They say that place, department, and that office, you put 10 civil engineers also not enough. There was so much work. But finally, I was able to do it despite whatever. Because I look at it, understand it, then I revamp the whole thing. I standardize a lot of those repetitive work. I started to call annual contracts so that all this repeated job need not be every job you call tender, no need. So annual contract helped me to solve a lot of things. Then I standardize a lot of work practices, processes. Then I revamp the whole of the organization so that it becomes lean and it becomes effective and very means hands-on, hands-on. Then I can get all the activity and work that is required to be done completed in a very efficient way. I do not want things to like hang on without being resolved. So everything that comes in, we have like certain type of time frame to resolve them unless it's a bit complicated. Otherwise, we will resolve it then and then. And then whatever that is major, I will attend to it, I will resolve it. So that place is not easy. We have a very, very big property to take care of. All the maintenance, all the development. It's the whole university with a very big main campus, very sophisticated. There are a lot of branch campus and all those things. So within the main campus, you have so many of these faculties, all of the various faculties, science, arts, and all the other type of medical faculties, dentistry, law, engineering, and many. Even science faculty itself is so big. Then you also have all the hostel, the student hostel. They are very messy. Every hostel is about 600 students. They got 12 of them. Then we have staff quarters, academic staff. There are easily, I think, almost 800 of staff quarters. Then we have a lot of common area to take care. Then we have new project, new buildings, branch campus, all over. So it was a very massive organization where if you don't have the experience and the understanding and the mindfulness or faithfulness, you cannot handle. I was told before me, there were 7 or 8 of them. None of them worked more than 3 months. The fastest one is 1 day, after that they all left. And a few, I think they lasted about a month or half a month. Then there was one maybe who lasted nearly 3 months. So when I went in and first reported for work, I didn't know they were betting on me. How long will I last? So those who bet against me are all lost. I end up working there for 6 over years until the year 1989 when I was ready. Then I decided to call it a day and left that place and come out to the private sector, the consultant, to test myself. So that was the place where I did my daily mindfulness. So I will explain to you, the next paragraph will explain to you. I was the head of maintenance and technical department, means development project of the property office, a super scale post with a staff strength of 800 plus staff under me. I am fully responsible for the overall upkeep, maintenance and development of one main campus and 2 branch university campus. This job comes with a lot of responsibility and work pressure, yet I was able to develop the cultivation and my daily mindfulness was not a problem at all. So it all depends on you, and if you are sincere and serious about life, then the cultivation will take off and there will be no problem. So always remember that. Don't go and think until like, this daily mindfulness is so difficult. Impossible to be mindful. If you say that, means you lack faith, you lack understanding. If it's impossible, then how did the Buddha teach it? Then why did the Buddha teach such a teaching? You must know how to plan and organize your work well. Then you will be able to do it, like what I did. Within a period of 2 to 3 months, the whole madhouse department was transformed and I was able to settle down to do my cultivation, and soon I became quite free after I had managed to standardize into annual contracts most of the essential routine maintenance works. That was the reason why while working, I could still meditate daily. Off and on, I can still go for meditation retreat and spiritual trip, etc. with my wife and my 2 children, age 4 and 6 at that time. I followed a very strict daily religious routine and meditate very often. I will meditate early morning when I woke up, before I start work at office, at lunch break, and whenever I had free time, and before I sleep. Even during meetings, I'm also in a meditative state. So So this one is not easy to do. You can be in a meditative state while having meeting. You are great. There were a lot of very interesting experiences at that time. Then later, when my daily mindfulness meditation had stabilized, I was able to meditate throughout the day and even into my sleeping moments. But I hardly sleep, and I was fully aware and awake throughout the day most of the time. So this is possible. Do not doubt. Okay? Then there's another question. Question 5. What is the difference between forest and ordinary city monk? Do you all know the difference or not? Do you think there's any difference between city monk and forest monk? Anybody want to try? You can just come in. Anybody? Nobody, yeah? Okay, then I read my answer to you, then you try to develop the understanding. It is just different terminology used to describe these two different types of monks. The forest monks are those from the forest tradition, especially those within the outskirts of Thailand, where they still practice the Thai forest tradition, as laid down by the Buddha. That is, they cultivate following the Vinaya and the Sutta, so as to be worthy of offering, etc. And also on a daily basis, they go for Pindapata, or arms round, following the Buddha's tradition. However, the ordinary city monk, they stay in the city monastery or temple. They do not usually go for Pindapata or arms round, maybe once a while, but seldom. And they are usually more scholarly type. And since they tend to have more interaction with lay people and the worldly people, their worldly duties are more. But they also cultivate following the Vinaya and the Sutta. It is a matter of preference or choice, and it's up to the individual. Both types of monks can still cultivate the Buddha Dharma because they are ordained monks following the Patimokkha or rules and teachings. The Dhamma Vinaya is laid down by the Buddha. What is that now? Yeah, I have to worry your mic is not mute. Huh? Yeah, I have to mute Joey's mic. Cannot. Joey? Okay. We already. Okay. Part 3. Meditation. This one is about the second turning. The email compilation. From my email compilation. The meditation is taught by the Buddha. The email number 4. Second turning. How to cultivate this second turning wisdom of Cittamayapanya via inquiry, contemplation, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. So my answer is, the first turning, the second turning. The first noble truth, second turning. Okay, so now we go direct into the second turning or the first noble truth. The Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So how do you reflect? How do you contemplate? And how do you inquire? The first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood? The emphasis is to be understood. Because all the four truths, the Buddha has different emphasis in the second turning. So this first noble truth of dukkha, he said, is to be understood. So we inquire, why did the Buddha say that? You find out, you try, you come, then you read the answer. It is because the Buddha knew we need to inquire, reflect, and contemplate into the truth he had proclaimed, so that we can truly understand what this first noble truth of dukkha or suffering is. This inquiry can allow us to sincerely reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into this first noble truth of dukkha, to truly understand what dukkha is before we confront it, so that we can be wary of it. This will also enable us not to be caught in dukkha or suffering. We are not knowing that we are already suffering. So a lot of people are caught in suffering without knowing that they are suffering, especially those depressed people, those people who are already very miserable, full of sorrow, lamentation, anger, hatred, and yet they still don't know that that is suffering. Just to them, the cocoon of thought that make them depressed keep on telling them that this guy did this to me. If it's not because of him, I won't end up like that. He still think that other people make him miserable. But he doesn't know that this is suffering. So his wrong thought continue to proliferate because he lack mindfulness, he lack wisdom, he lack understanding of the true Dhamma. He doesn't know what suffering is. So this aspect is very important. Then the second inquiry is, after I have understood what suffering is, then I will go in and inquire further. How can I develop the understanding of what dukkha is? So I can do it via the above reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the five daily contemplation as recommended by the Buddha, with a very calm and composed mind, filled with faith of Sadha, Virya, and Sati, the first three of the five spiritual faculties, following what we have done during the Sutta class. For detail, please refer the recording, share via our web thing as done by Brother Suyan. So you have to go and listen to the retreat sharing. There is a very big MP3 file, I think 16 weeks. They recorded all the retreat sharing and talk. It's very clear. You don't have, you can request from Sian. Maybe you buy him the, if he got extra, he will give you. Otherwise, you have to buy him a memory stick. Then he will help you to record them. Then second noble truth, second turning, the Buddha emphasis is different again. The Buddha said, this cause of arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned. The inquiry is, why did the Buddha say this? That is, craving, which is the cause of one's suffering, is to be abandoned. If craving is not abandoned, you will continue to suffer. True. So if you understand that craving is the cause of one's own suffering, and you have to abandon it, means you really need to work hard to abandon it. And there are five ways to do it. Five ways as taught by the Buddha. The most effective one is the third and fourth way, which are the meditative ways. So this one is very important. If craving is not abandoned, we will continue to suffer. That's why the second turning here is very clear. The cause of arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned, and how to abandon the five ways. The question number two, or inquiry number two, is how can I abandon it? To reflect deeply into the Buddha's four right effort, the five daily contemplation as advised by the Buddha, followed by the Dhamma on impermanence, suffering, and anatta, nature, or the five aggregates of form and mind. And to use the four right efforts and the five ways as taught by the Buddha to abandon the unwholesome thought and the craving that will condition our unwholesome actions, speech, and thought process. So this all has been shared. You go through the Heart Sutta notes at the back, appendix 6, I think. You have all the five ways all summarized in the table form. Either appendix 6 or 7, I forgot either. As we all understand, finally only wisdom frees the mind. So to use the fourth way, which is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it to develop the wisdom to free. And this is the best way thus far. This fourth way uses heedfulness. To cultivate mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, we are Dhammanupassana. Mindfulness of Dhamma cultivation to trace the origination factor leading to the wisdom, thereby enabling one to understand clearly how your mind has been tricked into attachment of clinging and craving. And the reactive mode, we are one's self-delusion, because there is no yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So craving born of self-delusion is the cause of all our attachment and clinging to our five aggregates of form and mind that condition our suffering. So you can refer to the 18th of March. Oh, sorry. The sixth lesson of Heart Sutta, huh? Part 3, question 1, huh? Short note for detail. So they are all there. I think, what is that? 12, Sok 3, Sok 12. 18. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Means the year 2012, 18 of March 2012, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the 6th. Now we are at lesson 11. So you go back to lesson 6, part 3, then you can find the answer. Then 3.3, third noble truth, second turning. This cessation of dukkha is to be realized. See, the first one, dukkha is to be understood. Second turning of the second noble truth is the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned. But the third noble truth, the cessation of dukkha, which is the third noble truth, is to be realized. So the word to be realized is very powerful. That's why the second turning, they got these very specific, important words to guide you to develop the contemplation, the reflection, and the inquiry. So this is how you develop your second turning wisdom. So the first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say that this cessation of dukkha is to be realized? Why is this cessation of dukkha need to be realized? The reason being, so that one does not have to suffer anymore, because according to the Buddha, suffering need not be, and that this cessation of dukkha can be realized in the here and the now before one dies. The other reason is, the second turning emphasized here is on the word realization, because the Dhamma or enlightenment is not a knowledge, but a wisdom which is to be realized or awakened to without thought. So it's not a knowledge where you memorize, cling on to and hold on to as a concept, as an idea. Just like people used to teach and share. He said, cut off craving. Let go of craving. Now you go and try. Without wisdom, all this is not possible. Then the second inquiry is, how can I realize the cessation of dukkha or suffering? Realization can only arise if one has trained the mind to have the initial heedfulness and wisdom after overcoming covetousness and greed. This part is very important. To cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. So this is how you do it. The realization of what they call cessation of suffering. Then finally, the fourth noble truth, second turning. This Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the cessation of dukkha or the end of all suffering is to be cultivated. So this one is the complete opposite of the first noble truth. Second turning of the first noble truth, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. But when it comes to Noble Eightfold Path, it is not only to be understood. Understanding that Noble Eightfold Path is not enough. you have to put it into practice. You have to cultivate it. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the end of all suffering or cessation of dukkha is to be cultivated. So the inquiry is the same. Why did the Buddha say that? The second turning emphasized on the word to be cultivated instead of only to be understood as per the first noble truth. The reason being, Noble Eightfold Path must be a part of you for you to be able to live it, to be a noble one. Hence, understanding alone, which is knowledge, is not enough. That is, you may understand, but you cannot live it. So the big difference is, if you have cultivated it and it has become a part of your nature, then you can live it because the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path is with you. But if it's only understood and you have not cultivated it, then it's only knowledge. You know, but you cannot live it. Yeah. Like stock market, eh? Very easy to make money. Eh? Buy low, sell high. Everybody know. 4-year-old child also know. But how come so many people lost money in the stock market? You mean they don't know how to buy low, sell high? Because they don't know what is low and what is high. They end up buying high, selling low. Out of what? Greed and fear. Market psychology. And what is greed and fear? Ignorance. That's why without understanding, without wisdom, you go and play the stock market, you are going to get into trouble. Because the evil roots that you have not rooted out. Fear and greed will reverse what you do. So out of fear, you will go and panic and sell low. Out of greed, you go and chase after the stock and end up buying high. You don't know the basic fundamental of stock investment. Stock investment is to buy undervalued stock at low price, then sell it, then people recognize its value and price. That is how you make your money. It's an investment. Invest into something that has value that people hasn't seen the potential or realized. In fact, nowadays there are many opportunities for you to make your money if you have the understanding and the wisdom. Actually, it's not easy because you need money, you need capital, you need understanding, you must not have fear and greed. So all this is what is required. But it is not something impossible. I realize quite a lot of people make it. But they make it through mainly learning from other people. Then nowadays, they got a lot of this technical chatting, a lot of books or seminar to teach you how to make money, but you have to be careful. Don't be gullible. Don't end up getting yourself burned. Because greed and fear will fail you. And the other aspect about investment is you must have karmic support. You must have dana parami. If you don't have dana parami or karmic support, you cannot make this type of wealth. This type of wealth won't come to you. Yet there are causes and conditions for things to arise. So you must have good parami. Otherwise, somehow, you will end up getting caught in crisis or during calamities. Like now, COVID-19. So things will become suddenly reversal and you end up losing your investment because you don't have the karma. Like people used to hear from me, meant to be. If it's yours, it will be yours. If it's not yours, meant to be, it will never be yours. So don't blame anybody. Your karma is very, very sincere, very honest. Karma never lie, never cheat, never deceive. It always act accordingly, following nature's law. If it's meant to be, will be. So this word meant to be, very deep in its meaning. Meant to be yours, then it will be yours. Not meant to be yours. No matter what you do, it will never be yours. So you can witness them. It's very interesting. You go into life and you have the condition to understand all this and see all this. You will really be amazed by this nature's law. But I saw them happening. That's why I used to tell my wife and my daughter, you know, not that you want to help people also cannot, that they don't have the parami. No matter what you do, you're wasting your time. They will act in such a way according to their karma, they get into trouble all the time. Unless they have faith in you, then they decide to change. Okay, the next one is, how can I cultivate it? This Noble Eightfold Path. So to contemplate, reflect, and inquire deep into all the Noble Eightfold Path factors, very important. To develop the understanding first of what they are, as taught by the Buddha. Like for the first path factor, right view or samadhi. What are the three most important right views, as taught by the Buddha? They are the law of karma, the four number truths, and the law of paticca-samuppada. So these three are the spiritual law, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So these three right views are most important. So karma niyama is law of karma, and citta niyama is law of paticca-samuppada or dependent origination purely. Then law of dhamma, the main one, is four noble truths and is three turning. One also need to train one's mind to be heedful and ever mindful with the right sati and samadhi. To see things as they are, following Dhammapada verse 23, which states that the ever mindful, constantly meditative and the steadfast one will realize the supreme bond-free nirvana. This is Dhammapada verse 23. On what is heedfulness. Then the third turning is always on the realization and enlightenment path. That's why the third turning of the Four Noble Truths all is about enlightenment. Oh, then we finish. Oh, less than 12. Wow, we are so early. Half an hour we finish. Oh, last week we completed half. So hopefully we can finish it. Okay. Then next lesson 12. This is a continuation, lesson 12. I think we can finish it quite fast. Apamadena, or heedfulness, which is Dhammapada verse 23, means a mind that is ever mindful without thought. It is to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha following Dhammapada verse 23. It is just like a relaxed inner awareness that is always aware and without thought to see things as they are, to see reality or the truth within all mental, physical, and nature's phenomena. So if you compare this with J. Krishnamurti's daily quote, it's exactly the same. It matches. Meditation is to have a mind that can act this way, that can see without the observer. Only the meditative mind can do this. You go back to that quote I read. So meditation means what? Means to have a mind acting in daily life that is capable of seeing without the observer, without the center, the atta. So this is heedfulness, awareness. Ever mindful, without thought. So meditation is not something apart or away from daily life. It concerns the whole of life. So exactly the same as what the Buddha's definition of apamada or heedfulness. So heedfulness means a mind that is ever mindful, without thought, within, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha following the Dhammapada verse 23, means daily mindfulness. So it is just like a relaxed inner awareness that is always aware and without thought to see things as they are, means without the observer, just an awareness that is always aware and without thought to see things as they are, means the direct seeing, the silent mind, the meditative mind that is constantly aware, ever mindful. That is what meditation is all about. Not what you think. Not all the sitting, nothing, walking, and all that stuff. That is just training to be aware, to be mindful. It's just some exercises. These are all instructions to do things. They are not the meditation. The real meditation only begins when you are heedful, when you are mindful, when you are able to develop the stability of daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Not until you reach step 4, the initial wisdom developed, then you can move into step 5, which is sati sampajana of the Abhijja Sutta, mindfulness and clear comprehension in the midst of life. Only at step 4 and 5, the real meditation begins. Before that is all just training of the mind, developing all the basic foundation to arise the meditative mind. So now you will start to understand my sharing. One by one, they will become very clear. And its meaning is very deep. Then when you understand, there's a lot of joy. Then meditation becomes very simple. Nothing complicated. Nothing esoteric. Then all those gullible things that people used to do and teach, you will never do anymore. Because the moment you see, you understand this is not meditation. This is all. Still all the method, technique, and all the thought-based doing. No understanding of what meditation is. That's why, despite what has been taught over the past 2,000 over years, what has been passed down, do you realize one trend or not? There are less and less enlightened beings as the process happens. If it's still the authentic right teaching, which is very potent, there should be a lot of enlightened beings anyway. How come there are less and less? Because the commentary, the interpretation, they have debated. The true teaching is difficult to come by nowadays. So all this understanding, when you understand them, when it starts to unfold in you through your own cultivation, you will see the big difference. Then you will progress very fast. Then you will train your mind to be heedful and become different. Then your sadha, virya, sati will drive you. Then you will persevere and you will just do it. Okay, applying the 6R technique which we have done, so I go through with you again. While meditating in the formal posture, if one feels any tension or tightness or distraction or stress within one's body and mind, then one must just recognize it. So the first R is just to recognize. So here, what I mean is, when you are meditating in a formal posture, well, a lot of people don't know how to meditate. So while in the formal posture, they realize there is a lot of distraction. And the distraction can come in many forms. The previous session we have gone through, it can be in the form of restless thinking, fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, then pain, numbness, itchiness, and a lot of other type of physical and mental distraction. So while meditating in a formal meditation, if you can feel any tension or tightness or stress within, or any distraction within your body and mind, then you must just recognize it. And after that, second R is to release it, means don't go and suppress it, control it, or do anything with it. Don't go and react to it or want to push it away or resist it or suppress it or control it. Don't do any of these things. The moment you recognize that this is the one that is causing distraction, recognize that it has arisen, then don't hold on to it anymore. Just let it be. Don't label it. Don't create mental hindrance. Then release it. Release it means don't have anything to do with it. Just let it be. That's why relax, maintain awareness, don't do anything else. Mm. But what the tissue is slightly different. The third R is then relax into it easy. Relaxation is very good. Actually, our first support is relax. Yeah. So why can't you just go direct into the relaxation stage? But the first two R, recognize and release, is to simplify things for you and let you understand the procedure and the method. Yeah, there are some people who cannot understand so quickly. They need more words, more instruction, and more explanation. So maybe in that sense, the first 2 hours is useful. Recognize that there is a distraction, then release it, then relax into it. You should actually straight away relax into every mind state that arises. But depend on which one suit you, you make use of it. Yeah? Then relax into it, the third hour. Yeah. Whatever mind state that has energy built up, including all the tightness and the tension that you can feel or itchiness. Then the fourth hour is to re-smile. Or radiate a radiant smile, like what I teach you under the mind sweeping method. Combined with metta, radiate a radiant smile. With a relaxed inner awareness without thought. So this one I add it on. So when you can radiate, a radiant smile means you are no more under stress. The body and mind relaxes by itself, especially your facial muscle. When you can smile, it will relax. The moment you relax, craving loses its strength. And this relaxed and radiant smile step are very important to make your mind feel at ease, light, tranquil, and free. This training of the mind will enable you to decondition your mind from its heedless thinking and grasping to sense experience. So this one is, I added in on my mind sweeping method combined with metta, including the radiant smile. Is to help you decondition your heedless thinking and grasping to sense experience. This will enable the cultivator to develop a silent, tranquil mind with heedfulness within naturally. We have the understanding that the original mind or the true mind is already in the meditative state with inner awareness within. So there is no need to do anything, but instead just relax and silent. Or maintain awareness, we are let things be. Then the heedless thinking and grasping born of delusion will slow down and stop on its own via wisdom. The mind will then return to its original state of true silent inner awareness without the thought, the ever shining nature, that self nature, or the true nature of the which is the true mind, will then shine forth. This ever-shining nature, which is the essence of mind, or your self-nature, is always there. The fifth R is to return to the object of meditation to train the mind to develop a very stable mindfulness. If this training is still needed, because he is using anapanasati. Once the mind is already trained, means it has entered sati and constantly aware in sati or pasati throughout the day, then this training is no more, no longer required, because mind has entered sati. Then the sixth R is, they say, repeat the whole process above training of the first 5 hours. But you need to be careful not to do this 6 step. Otherwise, it will become mechanical. So this 6 step will make you mechanical. Yeah, it's repetitive. Then this last step must be done with understanding, especially for those who are still trapped in thought-based meditation, because they will think, if I don't do this 6 hours, I am not meditating. Do you understand? When your mind already enters a T, you're supposed to go into daily mindfulness. You're not supposed to do all this anymore, like anapanasati. The mind has entered sati, no need to train really. So all these are skillful means to train your mind, to anchor the mind, So that is in the state of awareness. That stabilize it to be ever mindful. So no need to do all these things anymore. So this understanding is very important. The sixth R is to repeat the above training of the first five. Oh, I completed this one. This last step must be done with understanding, especially for those who are still trapped in thought-based meditation. Beyond the six R, actually, you don't have to do the six R. Once your mind has entered the peak, you straight away stop the six R. Beyond the 6 hour is the awareness-based meditation where the new four support for meditation are as follows. So relax and maintain awareness. So relax body and mind completely. Whatever mind state that arises, just relax into it. Free the mind. Then let things be and maintain awareness. Just aware. The third support is 24 hours for as long as you can. Maintain this state of awareness. As long as you are in this state of awareness, you are heedful, you are in a meditative state. Technically, it can be 24 hours. Even into your sleeping moment, you can be aware with it. This nature of mind has done it. That's why it can be done. Then the last one, the fourth support is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. No more thought involved. No more trying to direct the meditation. Or using the thought to do whatever inside them. It's complete trust. Let the nature do. So this one is the higher practice for those who wants to go the bodhisattva way. If you are contented, you say, good way, you don't have to do the last one. To do the last one, you have to locate your gateway to your nature around the heart area. You silence your mindfulness, your awareness completely and reside at the heart area. Don't try to look for anything. Just silence everything. Without thought, the awareness nature will detect the gateway. At first, it will detect whatever vibration or heartbeat or what there is around there. Because when you are sensitive and mindful, ever mindful, you can detect them. A lot of movement, activity, and vibration, especially the heartbeat. So the moment you are aware of it, stay with it, be with it, until it becomes very quiet, very still. Until your body and mind, the happy everything become very quiet, very refined and very still, until the mind enters it. Then one day, if you are patient enough, then you have deep clarity and deep stability of that nature, then the gateway will open up and you can detect it. And you will know, the form and mind will know. The moment it's detected, you need to relax, completely without thought and relax. Otherwise, it cannot happen. Then when it happens, you will know. A lot of things will happen. I can give you a hint. All of the energy external you have developed, they will melt inside there. And how it melts inside there is very beautiful. Then you will understand the whole movement. So all this, later, when there is condition, you report to me that I will guide you along. Okay, we move on. 2.1. The opening verse by Master Xuan Huang. Reversing the light within, to shine within. Wei Guang Fan Zhao. So those who know Mandarin, you will understand easily. Avalokiteshvara vowed to enlighten all the sentient beings. Thus, he is a bodhisattva. His mind is thus unmoving, a superior one at peace, with total understanding of the ever-shining. He is the host and the master. So the ever-shining is your self-nature, your true nature, your eternal nature, or your Buddha nature. So he is the host and master. Then I will read on. The first line of the above verse is very important. Because most of the time, our mind dwells outside, chase after external sense experience. The external appearances that created the phenomenal world of ours. This is also the reason why the Buddha said under Dhammapada verses 1 and 2 that our mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when the mind arises. So this one refers to the mundane mind. In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within so that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. This is reversing the light to shine within, Hui Quang Fan Zhao. Only then can we be aware of our content of consciousness within our mind. That is how our mind are stirred by external and conditioned into clinging and grasping after external created by mind. We are our own self-delusion and mental aggregates of feeling, vedana, sanya, perception, sankara, mental activity, mental states, and vijnana, mental consciousness. You will start to understand how thoughts and feeling arises in your mind. With every moment of sense or consciousness, and how they condition each other, how thought, if it's conditioning, views and opinion condition your feeling, and how this feeling becomes craving, emotion, to condition your suffering, your subsequent wrong thought and wrong thinking, leading to all the suffering. All this, if you are not careful or heedful or mindful, if you have not developed the wisdom or initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, to enable you to see things as they are. Clinging and grasping will continue to arise, and dukkha or suffering will be the end result. That's why without wisdom, you cannot free, you cannot liberate your mind. So meditation is to have the silent mind, the inner awareness, the mind, to see all these things, to see how you function as a living being, to see and understand clearly who are you, what are you, despite your formal mind, the two aspects. All this you will understand from first principle. Yeah, you see them happening inside your formal mind. It's not about theory anymore. It's not about knowledge anymore. You don't have to remember anything. You don't have to memorize anything. Everything is just the way it is. Can be investigated into. Can be realized. Each by themselves. Okay, the next verse. With total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master. This one is very beautiful. So this word, total understanding of the ever-shining. You remember, Ingby transcribed that very short stretch of the last Sunday's sharing about that self-nature, about how you must train your mind to be aware, silent, ever-mindful, to realize or illuminate that self-nature until it's very, very clear. So this, they can go and refer to the notes because it's there. So this one, I will explain. You listen attentively. The word host is synonymous to the owner or innkeeper. Because like you hold a house warming or house party or gathering. You are the host, isn't it? Because you are the owner of the house. Then the ever-shining is your Buddha nature. Imagine oneself as a hotel with six rooms. The six sense bases are like your six hotel rooms. And the sense data or external form are like the guests of your mind. Like a hotel guest that come in and stay. Room. For example, the guests of your seeing consciousness are color, shape, and form. Vibration like sound, music, noise, etc. are guests of your hearing consciousness. The guests of your mind are not like human beings because they cannot talk or complain. So it is a lot easier to manage this hotel if one is not deluded. I qualify it. If one is not deluded. The host is always there to receive guests. So who is the host? The ever-shining, the ever-mindful inside them. That's why you are always there. You receive them. The guests of the mind, what do? They come and they go. Hence, they are impermanent. Not intrinsic. It's not within part of your self nature. That's why they are dependent, originating, external. My daughter say you are not careful, the guests become permanent resident and take over your room and make you more and more deluded. So this hotel, the host is always there to receive the guests. The guests of the mind, they come and go, hence they are impermanent. As guests, they are here to stay for a while only. And most of the time, they stay for a split second only. But because of your delusion, you cling on to them as memories and give them meaning so that they can stay for a longer period of time, thereby causing you all the misery and suffering. That's why you attach, you cling, and you deposited them into your memory, your scars of memory, your fear, your phobia, everything you deposit and they call accumulate into your brain. That's why Mahayana use the word accumulation. It is the cause of suffering, which is very good. And so at times leading to depression, because you accumulate all this, cling onto all this, and you cannot understand that you are the host. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then it can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allow them to come and go. We are perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom or right view, and also how he suffer and become miserable when he perceives them with negativity, via his own self-delusion and wrong view of superiority. Who grasp and cling onto them, we are wasting or we are wanting things his way or their way. This will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling, or react, then he is always peaceful and is not disturbed by the guests of the mind. Then life is wonderful and meaningful, and the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times. This is what life is all about. So you know you have a form of mind. And this form of mind follows nature's law. Do you understand? The senses with the consciousness trapped inside, upon contact, the respective sense consciousness arrive. You only need to understand that. Then don't input the wrong content of consciousness through your wrong view. Your wrong view, your opinion, views, opinion, and conditioning, your phobia, your insecurity. Don't. That's why act with wisdom. When you have right view, you will input the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action. That noble eightfold path take over. That's what life is all about. Then life becomes wonderful. That's why act with wisdom. Don't act according to memory, which are all of your views, opinion, and conditioning. You're wrong view. Without wisdom, you cannot act. It will lead to wrong action, wrong speech, wrong thought. You will suffer. So this is what the Dhamma is all about. And it's so beautiful. So that poem, actually, Xuan Hua wrote, he didn't explain. But because I understand and I can explain and I make it so beautiful for you all to understand. That's why you must read through this chapter. This chapter is very beautiful. Then we go on. 2.2. Important notes. Host. The host is always there to stay. But guests, they come and go. Always remember this. Then second very important point is you hold, each and every one of us hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy depend entirely on our own choice. Then why are you not happy? If we choose to be happy, then no one can make us unhappy unless we ourselves, through self-delusion, allow ourselves to be unhappy or via our own self-delusion. So this one is obvious, huh? Thought is like money. And money is neither good or bad or evil. Because good and evil depend on the user of money. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money and thought will also become evil. If user of thought has wisdom, then thought becomes right thought, wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. Hence, do strive on with heedfulness to develop the right view, the wisdom, the yoniso manasikara, more and more. This is how you transform. This is what meditation is all about. Not all the fantastic meditation experience. No point. Those are not meditation. Those are psychic ability. Energy field and all those things. No point. So part 3, meditation. Email number 4, page 9 of email compilation note. This is a continuation. Commentary on the three turnings under the Theravada and Mahayana Sutta. Bradfield explained that the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths given in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana explanation compared to Theravada differs a bit. The problem with most cultivators is they cling onto the first turning and never get down to the nitty-gritty of the second turning, where all the hard work is. For more detail, please read the email number 4, page 9 of Bradfield's email compilation note on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, dated 14th of May 2007. It's also in our website, and that day I sent out to the Mahayanamitta for sharing. You go and check it out, and you'll read through. Okay. Oh, we finished. Very good. Wow. Stop. Yes. Oh, we still have time. Still before 10. Maybe today we can have more time for Q&A and discussion. Yeah, this topic so far is so good. Okay, we stop here. Then we can have our Q&A. So make full use of this session to develop more understanding and report your meditation and also ask questions. Okay, so now we open up. Well, I have a drink. Whoever who wants to ask any question or report their meditation, you can. Whichever part you're not clear, you want me to explain again, also you can. Anybody? You just wave your hand or you just come in. Today's topic is very, very good, very beautiful. It can help you. Ananda, I want to say something. You're pointing to Jayanta. I see. Okay, Jayanta.
Report and like your advice. You hear me? Is it loud?
Yeah. Can hear you, yes.
Just not doing my sitting. I find your mind-body method, sleeping method is very good.
Just relax. Sweep, relax, and whatever distraction or tension or stress within, you just relax into it. Well, you just aware, relax. Aware, relax. You don't think anymore. That's how it deconditions your healer's thinking. And you become very quiet, very fast. In fact, after you sit one round, you will see the big difference. Your mind has quieted down. Then you do it a second time, it's even more beautiful. And you meta, it will be very beautiful. Continue. Yes.
It's better just a matter that I practice. There's one situation where my ankle was. And I was trying to relax there. And even more pain.
Yeah. Then what do you do? Yeah, very good.
Then there's a memory that came in that I sprained my leg last few days.
Okay. At least now you are able to be aware of that thought coming in. Then what do you do when you are able to be aware of that thought? What do you do?
I didn't continue with the thought. I just attention aware of the sensation at my ankle.
Ah, yes. Don't label it. Don't label it as pain or negative emotion, because that will become a mental hindrance. If you don't label it, endure it. The word is endure. True understanding means accept the reality. When conditioned like that, if there is a constriction of chi flow or what, then it will become like that, the sensation. Then it will develop. Then if you are able to relax into it and accept it for what it is without creating mental hindrance, then all of a sudden, the shift of consciousness will happen. And it will flush through. And the whole phenomena that you call pain, that is very severe, will just flush through and gone. Then after that, from that day onward, you don't have to worry about pain anymore. You know how to deal with it. You can laugh at the pain, like Ajahn Mahabhoa used to say. He laughed at the pain. He also sat through the pain. That's what he understands. So pain can be your friend when you understand them. It is the way of your body telling you that you are not relaxed. The chi cannot flow. Then when you know how to relax, very funny or no, your meditation becomes very easy on you. Then when you know how to develop the stability of daily mindfulness, the moment you sit, you are relaxed already. You are straight away relaxed or not. Then you enter the meditative state straight away without any healer's thinking or thought process. Even if on the daily life, let's say you are a bit busy that day, there may be some thought, because these are like what I said, unfinished business, understand? Disorder, certain small aspect of disorder. Because you cannot be mindful throughout the day until you are very stable with your understanding and wisdom. Then there are certain occasions or situations where you are very busy, tied up with a lot of work and all those things. Then it's not easy for new people to have the ability to maintain awareness, mindfulness, and to be heedful. So because of that, there is certain disorder happening. Yeah. Then never mind. When you sit and meditate, you will see the sankhara coming up, the unfinished thing. You can see them. But now, with the new understanding, you know how to let things be. Relax, silent, maintain awareness. Then it will slow down very fast. Within 1 or 2 minutes, the whole brain becomes very quiet again. And then you realize, actually meditation is so simple. Anybody can do it. Yeah. Continue.
This time when I was trying to follow advice to relax, the awareness was, the intensity was so high into the peak. And then wow, the thing is not there anymore. And I managed to sit throughout the
You will learn from all this and you will understand all this. It will become very beautiful. As long as you don't label it with aversion, dislike for that sensation, then there will be no mental hindrance. Then your sati will take over. Once you know how to relax and maintain awareness, your sati will take over. Then laugh at that phenomena, understand? Because that is your teacher, understand? It actually let you understand things. That's why you should thank them. Your pain, your itchiness, or whatever they come. Sometimes it's karmic, you have to pay back. So pay back. Relax into it. It's better to take the pain in the meditation to be hit in the accident and landed up in the hospital. You understand now? Both also paying back karma. Your suffering caused to other beings. So this one, you take it while in the meditation is better than taking it through an injury or through an accident outside. So this one, no need to pay medical bill. That one has to pay medical bill. Then even fracture or whatever accident, you need x-ray, you need to pay for the specialist advice, the hospitalization, the whatever cost. So all this is very good understanding. So you will thank yourself, you will rejoice and say blessing in this time. Now I can pay back my karma in kind, take it in the sitting, better than in the accident or whatever. So you thank your good karma. So you thank them. They are like your teacher. Thank you for teaching me, for giving me the condition to understand Dhamma, for my mind to develop the wisdom and the understanding. That's why all these sensations, they will become your friend. So you don't like develop delusion. Learn to love yourself. Because if your body can talk, it will talk to you in such a nice way, like I used to share. He said, "Oh Master, I am only tissue and cells. Harm me not. Help me work for you, for the good of the many, before I am too old, too weak, and too fragile to serve you." If your body talk to you in such a way, you somehow don't have gratitude towards the body, I tell you, you must be crazy, deluded, really deluded. That's why you should thank your body for having serving you so long. Especially all the parts, the organs that are still functioning. Now don't go and complain about those that is not functioning. It's because you are partly to be blamed because you must have overused it, or chemically the DNA is coded in that way. That's why you have to come and pay back your karma and go through all this. So once you develop all this understanding, your mind open up. You become like very compassionate, very understanding. Then you start to love yourself. Love everything for what it is. You love the world for what it is. You love living beings for what they are. They are just the way they are. Through ignorance, they become what they are. Through delusion, they become what they are. So you will be at peace. And you will have compassion and love. Then there is no more entity to hate and to do all these things. Because that self-delusion, superiority, no more. Because when you can see things as they are, there is no egoic mind to see, to observe. I see, I hear, I smell, I taste. All these are delusions. They just arise through nature's law, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, light bulb lights up, you become conscious. Conscious of what you hear, what you see, what you smell, what you taste, what you take out, if you can think. And there is no one behind. It's just an awareness. Learn to see all this. Learn to understand all this. Then you will decondition all your behavior. Your understanding will make you different. And you will transform. And you will not behave like other people. The ego is so strong. You will not act from that center. You will act from understanding, wisdom. Then you know no reality. He know you, he know me. From am I? From am I? Impermanent, little suffering, non-self, empty, no reality. Then you cannot cling, you cannot hold. You cannot do all those heedless things anymore. Foolish, deluded thing anymore. The phenomenal world of form and consciousness are like no more power over you. They like collapse in front of you. And all this understanding can arise. They will shine for you. Once you develop the meditation correctly, your direct seeing will awaken you. Your silent mind will let you understand all this. And they are so beautiful. And the Heart Sutta is so rich in this teaching. Every chapter, everywhere, so clearly explained. Where can you find them? And this is free from the Buddha. So you all should thank your good karma, good karmic nature, to have the condition to listen to all this teaching and have this priceless gem given to you. Then your Kayamita, who has contributed and helped to develop all this website and the material, Dhamma Your prana, your karmic nature, the sakayamita force will become very powerful, very strong. That it will help to awaken a lot of beings. And it will help to create a lot of conditions for people to understand the true Dhamma. Later on, I tell you, the whole karmic force will become very different. When this teaching becomes more and more understood by more and more people, more and more cultivated, they will progress very fast. They will transform very fast. And this is going to revolutionize the way Bodhisattva cultivate, the way cultivator cultivate the Dhamma. Okay? Sadhu to you, right? For having the good condition. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you so much, Yanta, for the good condition and the reporting. Okay, anybody else? We still have another maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Huh? Huh? Oh, so quiet. Wow. Now MCO, CMCO already relaxed. That day, me and my wife and my daughter went out for dinner. Yesterday. Yeah, we dined in. The restaurant owner was very happy to see us. Only 2 tables there. But he, according to that one, they take the temperature register. Then they say 1 table maximum 4. You have more than 4 person, 2 tables. Now they still have solution for you, 2 tables. So not a bad idea, huh? You have more than 4, maybe give you a bigger table. Okay, anybody else want to maybe ask question or clarify anything or share any understanding that they have given? Anybody?
Yeah, Brother Theo, I'd like to share understanding.
Yeah.
This Adam, sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
I would like to share an understanding that I've developed. Earlier today, when I went out to help my mom gardening, right, I realized there's a lot of mosquitoes chasing after me and biting me.
Oh.
So after realizing that all of us are related, I treat them as like my friend. So they just follow me, and then they still bite my blood like usual because that's their nature. So I accept that they bite my blood. But the strange thing is, it used to be so itchy when they after they bite me because they leave the marks on my body. Then I let them bite. Although 2 of them got killed by me because of my accident, my unskillfulness. I didn't hit them very hard. I just touched them only, but they still died. Then squash. So I felt
that is violating your precept. It's serious. Because how can you do? When you are mindful and aware, you can't. You need to avoid. You avoid. It's a training. When you chant the precept, you chant Panatipata Viramani Sikapadam Samadhi Yami. I undertake the training skill. Did you train yourself? That is very important to avoid killing or harming fellow living beings, not only human beings. They may be mosquito, but there is a coming towards it. So whatever it is, learn from it, then avoid doing it if you can. Maybe at this moment you still can't. That's why you report that you kill too. So, never mind, happened already, but you learn from it. It can be done. It's not a joke. Really, this training can be done. My daughter earlier on also, he went open the window, the netting, then the mosquito came in and bite until all the mark was on her body. That was a few weeks ago. We also, what happened? My daughter share. Let her share.
Okay. Because sometimes, a lot of mosquitoes will come after, like maybe new blood in the house. Never taste this kind of blood for the last 12 years. So when I moved back in, started biting me all, both hands, both legs, all so far. So I did what I could. Like after it's been bitten already, I get tiger balm. I cover my whole body with tiger balm. Whole body oily. So it feels better than being itchy. So then, but what made me able to not react when I hear them, when I see them, when they bite me? Actually, the part that really, really helped me was I have to ask myself, why can't I keep the precepts? Why must I kill them? Yeah. So many people can do all kinds of training. You can go and do pumping 30 times. Must be very painful. Why you can do that? Kill a mosquito, you cannot train yourself to do that. Must be something wrong. What is the hurdle there? What is it that, why must, why cannot? Why cannot? Why do I tell myself cannot? Then I realized all the things I set up, all the conditioning, all the assumptions I made, I must, cannot, cannot, they don't bite, they bite already, what will happen? All that.
There is selfishness behind.
Slowly, peel all the way.
Then the other thing also, in the early days, I remember, when you are in the forest area, you got no choice. There's a monkey or are there. They will come. Then, initially, when I developed the understanding, I accepted. It's like blood donation. When you donate blood, you donate a lot more, isn't it? So many fine.
Mm.
But most people, how much can they draw? So, donate blood. I saw them bite. Draw. Then later on, because of the metal, they don't bite me. Unless I sweat, then there's a certain smell. Then later on, funny, they hardly bite me. Sometimes the whole area, when I was with my friend or my colleague or those whom I know, when we were having our drinks or what, we normally we sit outside quite dark area. They say a lot of mosquitoes, everybody cannot bite me. That day I was sharing them. I didn't cannot bite me. No, I said, oh, you see, a lot of mosquitoes. I said, yeah, I can feel them. I can hear them buzzing. But they don't come and disturb me. Because that time, maybe there's a vibration that they can feel. Or maybe like my daughter said, my blood, they don't like. So if they like your blood, but they are hungry. That's why they need food. So they will come after you. So learn to be at peace with them. If you can avoid them, you want to avoid them, you avoid them. But donating a bit of blood is okay. But don't go and quote me and get me into trouble. Because I know PJ Subang, a lot of dengue red spot area, hot spot area. So if you get dengue, don't go and quote me. Say, brother, you say, let them bite a bit. Oh, that is not my intention. You must believe in your karmic nature. Your karmic nature can allow you to have dengue. Then you better check. So a lot of things need understanding. You want to continue? You have
Yes, I want to continue that. Because
okay.
Last time it used to be very itchy after a bite because these mosquitoes are those, you know, those very, they produce the secretion very painful and very itchy and you will scratch it whole day. But this time, because I treat them as like my friends, so I said like, yala, like you said, dana, blood, because they also need to survive. So it's their nature to take our blood. So when I treat and I look at it that way, I realized that the pain in the body, not even the after the mosquito left, there's not much of the mark and also there's not much pain. So I think it's I don't know, is it coincidence or maybe it's just
okay,
the mind.
You listen. There are two possibilities. First, you contradict yourself. You want to let them buy and all those things, but you kill two. Okay? So that one you have to go and find out how it happened. Then you say you learn how to like reflect like me, blood donation, all those things. Then you realize that they are not so painful and doesn't leave mark behind. The reason can be if you really have that metta and all those things, your mind state is better. When your mind state is better, it's just like we say, when the body suffer, the mind need not suffer, understand? Yeah. But when you kena bitten and yet you get angry, then you can sense that itchiness or that insect bite, huh? Or mosquito bite. Then you become more agitated. That shows what? You have negativity of mind state. And when you have negativity of mind state, it will condition your suffering. That's why you will tend to feel like you suffer more. So what you say is possible. Yeah? But your mind state, you have to find out yourself because nobody can teach you that. But the moment you can cure means you don't have the metta. You do not really have the training rule to actually develop the training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware. Then you undertake the training rule not to do all these things. So you need to endure, you endure. You can blow them away or you can use your hand to like gently shoo them away. But for me, if I can endure, I just endure because condition is such that I'm there. If they need blood, if I can afford to give them some, why not? So sometimes I saw them like, okay. Then at the most, I just softly blow, shoo them away. Then it will just go. Yeah. So these are all the various ways. Yeah, my doctor got something to add.
So initially, all the carelessness and all the oversight, react too fast, actually all that is excuses. Something must have triggered before all that action happened. Yeah. So when I dig further, right, sometimes it is fear that I react so fast. Sometimes it is anger that I react that way, but I say, I was careless. Oh, I suddenly not mindful. Actually, what started me to move was either the fear or the anger or the, it could be something else. Like I wanted to do something very fast. You were greedy to do something else and you quickly, then you just get this over with. So there's always that mind state, that mental intention that we have to identify first.
I identified that.
We can overcome
it. I didn't mention here. I identified the mind state that I have that time is I don't want the mosquito to proliferate because, as we live life, like dengue, all this sickness can affect our body. So when I think like, I don't want the mosquito to proliferate, but I didn't hit them hard. I just touched, but I know it's still an excuse. Death is still death. It's just that.
I think that is self-righteousness.
Yeah, justified.
You're really trying to be righteous on behalf of the mosquito. Actually, there's nothing we can do. They are what they are. They have their own karma. We are trying to fix something we cannot fix. So everyone has that. I also have that when I start. It's like, I leave the dengue there, you bite my mom, you bite my dad. Actually, that is me trying to be self-righteous and justify my actions.
Yeah. All this is actually your own insecurity, your selfishness. Because you believe that you have a better reason to survive. Because you don't want them to have the slightest possibility of transmitting dengue to you, especially we are in this hotspot area, Dubai. But it's very advisable, like my wife used to tell us, the mosquito netting is very useful. Mosquito netting. Oh, lemongrass water also can help. But mosquito netting is very useful. If you have mosquito netting, there will be less. Much less. So a few you can live with them. But you can see your own insecurity, your own selfishness, that you feel that you are more worthy than the mosquito. To you, the mosquito is insignificant. Means you lack that love, that metta within you. You have to treat them all as living beings. They also have life. That's what nature's law is all about. So if small thing you cannot handle, then all this will translate into bigger things later on. Yeah. So training yourself to develop the precept, there are many levels. As you understand, as you develop more wisdom, understanding, and mindfulness, you become different. Then you can handle all this more and more subtle mental intention. Yeah. Or you can see all your subtle aversion, insecurity, selfishness, fear, dislike, and other things. Like my daughter saw how she reacts. Normally it's out of fear or aversion or dislike. We have habitual tendency. It has become habitual. But all this can change. That's why initially it's like reflex action, automatic. Pow! The moment you see them, when I was young, I was trying to kill them all. Because that time I don't know the Dhamma. No. Then later on, after I developed the understanding, I realized the hand cannot move. The hand with the mindfulness, I went, it cannot do all this thing anymore. That's how you will know. You start to change, you start to transform. Then you try to save life because you value life. You can feel them. There were many incidents where I saved a lot of flies and ants and all those things. They stuck in the food, stuck in the muck and all those things. Or in the basin there where we have a lot of water spill over when we brush our teeth, wash it off. I will use the tissue paper and save them and get them to the dustbin area. Because you can't. The intention to kill, no more, impossible. Okay? So thank you for your sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah. We better end. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now I will do the sharing of merits. Akasata Chirubumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Ita Wata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Sidiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Devo satu kalena sasa sampati heto ce. Pito bawatu loko ce. Raja bawatu dhammiko. Itmina punyang kamina. Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the recording.